Well, good afternoon, James. It is Friday, January 13th. It's Friday the 13th.
How often does that happen?
It happens more than I'd like to think.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not superstitious.
No, not at all.
That's good. Okay, so this is Discovering Victory Podcast. This is our 100th season of conference ministry.
Awesome.
And the goal of Discovering Victory is to share messages that have been presented here at the Pulpit America.
So many.
Crawford Loritz was here with us this summer.
So
powerful, powerful. It's taken him a long time to get here.
Yeah.
But we're glad
it was worth
it,
right?
This is part one of his Tuesday evening message.
Awesome.
Let's be blessed as Crawford shares God's word with us.
You know, one of the things that used to frustrate me a little bit as a pastor, we had multiple services and our church was fairly sizable. We would move through the service because we had to get through the service because they turned the parking lot around, the other people come in and this kind of thing. And so there would be occasions in which I would get frustrated because I thought we would move too quickly to the next thing on the agenda and we would lose the spiritual equity of just what was said. And I think sometimes that can happen to us. You can get so program-driven. Oh, that's an element of the program. That's an element of the program. We have some worship songs, a testimony, a special music. Now this dude comes up to talk. And we can lose the reality that God's been speaking to us all along. All along. Today's not the day that God will not be faithful. Cheyenne's testimony, the faithful pursuing God. What a mighty God we serve. The songs that we have sung. And sometimes I wonder, we leave services and we say, well, I don't know, God didn't speak to me. I didn't hear him speak to me. Well, you weren't listening. And maybe we've gotten some answers. Holy Father, we thank you for yourself and your love and your mercy. We thank you for what we have heard. Thank you that you have taken care of us in impeccable ways. You don't change. You have been the same. And you keep loving us and pursuing us. And you love us so much that you don't give us what we want, but you give us what we desperately need. So, Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, I pray in a very special way tonight that you will continue to speak to our hearts. God, take us from where we are to where you want us to be. I pray, oh God, that not only will we be better, but that we will encounter you. And whenever we encounter you, there's transformation that takes place. So may the tense door of our hearts be open. God, reign in our wandering thoughts. I pray, oh God, that you'll imprison our attention right now so that we won't miss anything that you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have a Bible, a device, or an extraordinary memory, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 145 and just leave it open there for a while. Psalm 145. Probably the most difficult thing in terms of discipline in the Christian life, in terms of being consistent in our lives, it's a toss-up between consistent Bible reading and prayer. But I would have to say it's most difficult to develop a consistent prayer life. We're rather erratic because of the tragic twists and turns of life, the busyness of our schedules, that kind of thing. But more than that, the devil will do anything possible to keep us from calling upon God. Prayer is the means by and through which we tap into the resources of heaven to bring to bear on our predicaments, on the issues of life. Prayer. We're commanded to pray. Throughout the Bible, prayer is the norm. Prayer is the norm of every follower of Jesus Christ, every follower of God. Prayer is the norm. And I also want to say this by way of setting this up. We were born to depend upon God. We're born to depend upon God. And until we not only learn that lesson intellectually, until we embrace it viscerally here in our hearts and minds, we will always struggle with our prayer life. Until there's that level of understanding that I can't make it without Him. I can't make it in this life without God's supernatural intervention. Now, as I said last night, anybody that tells you that they know how prayer works, don't listen to them. There's a great mystery. There's a great paradox in prayer. If God knows everything, why do we have to ask Him about anything? And yet we don't know how that works. And yet work it does. And by the way, I had an old professor used to say, never try to unscrew the inscrutable. God does not resolve these great mysteries in time. We are linear. God sees the whole picture. But we must do what He commands us to do, whether we understand how it's resolved or how it's intersected or how it all works. We know that our Father loves for us to be dependent upon Him. And He tells us that you have not because you ask not. And one of the ways of tapping into the resources of heaven is to seek His face. So we're born to depend upon Him. And Jesus repeatedly kept calling His followers back to prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, He uses these intense, present tense verbs, ask, seek, knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Stay in prayer, stay in prayer. James tells us in James chapter 5, verse 16, that the prayer of a righteous person has great power. So, we're to pray. Well, again, why is it that we struggle with prayer? I think there's a myriad of things, but I think that there are two big reasons. One is that we don't sense the depth of our need. Proud people, resourceful people, affluent people typically struggle with prayer. And the reason for that is that we got options. We got contacts. We got a few pennies. We got some things. We got other stuff that we can go to. We got friends. We got folks that have expertise. And so we struggle because we do not embrace the absolute desperate situation that we're in. People who pray consistently and effectively embrace their desperation. Notice I didn't say just need, but they embrace their desperation. There are seasons in our lives where God, hear me on this, and this sounds crazy, but God allows us to be scared spitless, scared to death, so that we can be convinced that we're not the fourth members of the Trinity. He does that to us. And it's until we get to that point, we will always struggle. Always struggle with our prayer lives. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. So the very first reason why I think we struggle with praying is we don't want to say it, but we're not totally convinced that we're that desperate. And I think there's a second reason why we struggle with prayer. And this one might not be as obvious, but I'm actually borrowing this or picking this up from Paul Miller in his wonderful book, A Praying Life, probably one of the best books I've ever written in my life on prayer. Miller says this. Now hear me. He says, oddly enough, many people struggle to learn how to pray, listen to what he says here, because they are focusing on praying and not on God. They're focusing on praying and not on God. There's nothing magic about the process of praying. Listen to me. Hear me what I'm saying. There's nothing magical about the process of praying. What is supernatural and powerful is to whom we're praying. And so when we focus just on praying, it's sort of rote regurgitate. But if you remember, who are you talking to? And if you have a big vision of God, an understanding of who He is, and you realize that prayer is communing with Him, that's when your prayer life takes on a deep dimension. It's your concept of God that fuels your desire to pray. Now, I have a true confession here. I'm usually a little adverse to these little cute little outline things where you know everything begins with a letter and these little cute little things that we do. But I like one of the cute things, and that's this one is the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. Because I do believe that it does form a helpful template to know how we should approach this whole matter of prayer. And I'm going to talk over the next four nights tonight and the next three nights on each one of those elements: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, which really I believe is the heart of prayer throughout the scriptures. And it begins where it should begin with, and that is adoration. Adoration is our concept of God. In the words of Paul Miller again, prayer is focusing on God. And when we focus on Him, it is amazing how our hearts are watered and nurtured. Now, I don't want to sound pedantic here or granular, but adoration, the word adoration really comes from the Latin word adoratio, which literally means to give homage or worship to someone or something. Adoration has to do with the totality of your being that you're giving to someone or something. It is the affectionate wrapper around worship. In fact, the core characteristics of adoration are these three words. As you study the concept throughout Scripture, these three words are grouped together to form the whole idea of adoration. Hang in there with me. Love, fear, and sacrifice. Adoration is more than like. To adore something means that there is profound love. There's profound love. It's a relationship term. But there's also adoration, especially when we talk about God, involves fear. Fear. Now, I have to tell you, and some will disagree with me on this, I think guys like myself, when we stand up and preach and teach and talk about various things, the fear of God or this kind of thing, every once in a while we say stuff and simplify it, but it's more detailed. What are you trying to say here? Well, a lot of us will say, well, the fear of the Lord, well, fear means reverential awe. Well, what in the world does reverential awe mean? To fear the Lord in the Bible means two big things. One, it does mean literal fear. It does mean literal fear. Every context in which God manifests Himself, you find people falling flat on their face. So there is that. But there is, secondly, there's this awe-inspiring beauty. Have you ever been surrounded by something that is massive, bigger than you, and you realize you're standing there at the edge of the Grand Canyon, and you're saying, this is amazing.
But if I'm stumble, if I stumble, I'm dead. So adoration involves, yes, a love relationship with him, but also involves fear. But adoration also involves, thirdly, sacrifice. Sacrifice. The whole concept of worship in the Bible is not what you like, it's what you give. When you come to church, it's not just about entertainment, whether you like the music, you like this preacher, you like what they do, you like the announcement, you like this, you don't like this, I don't like that sound. It's not a matter of what you like. We have that backwards. In the Bible, worship is associated with what you give. I promise you I'm going to get to Psalm 145, but it's associated with what you give. What you give. So when I say that I adore God, that means that I'm not only in a posture of receiving, I'm in a posture of giving. And that's the reason for the sacrifices in the Old Testament. That's the reason why the sacrifices don't end in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the sacrifice of my life. It means to give. Now, having said all of this, we need to understand that adoration is connected to praise. It's connected to praise. The focus of our prayer life is not so much about us as it is about God. And so when we come into his presence, we recognize that God is God, and he has no peer or competition. Adoration pours out our praise to God for who he is, his greatness. It is a reminder, well, who are you talking to? And so we step into his presence. And it's not about me, but it's about him. Prayer begins with humility. Prayer begins with the expulsion of pride. Prayer begins by focusing on the greatness of our God. Thus, Psalm 145 is an anthem to the greatness of God. It's a psalm of God's massive greatness. It really is an exposition on adoration. Now, I could have gone all over the Bible and had the motherload of different verses, but I want to park us in this one text. Because this psalm really has about five stanzas. You know, these psalms, many of them were sung. These are five stanzas here. And it really is an exposition on the greatness of our God. And so when we come into his presence, this is what we do. The first stanza is the declaration of God's greatness. It's sort of the thesis of the whole psalm, verses 1 through 3. Listen to what the psalmist says. David writes, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. For the sake of time, I just want to focus our attention on the line, your name. Your name. Your name. What does your name indicate? Somebody calls you by your name. Your name is the signature of your identity. It's who you are. And so when David says, I will extol my God and King and bless your name forever and ever, what he's saying is, I'm going to focus on your identity. Well, who are we talking to when we pray? I actually believe that this is a reference to the composite picture of our great God. It's a reference to his attributes. Who is it that we're talking to when we pray? I just want to click off a few of his attributes. When we open our mouths to pray, we're talking to the one who is all powerful. All power, every bit of it. All power resides in God. He doesn't just control the power. He is all powerful. When we talk to God, who are we talking to?
Well, we're talking to one who is ever present. All of God is everywhere at all times in all places. It's not pieces of God. You don't dissect God. You don't compartmentalize God. Part of him is not in Europe, and part of him is not in Asia, and part of him is not in Antarctica. All of God is every place at one time. He's ever present. You can't hide from him. You can't escape him. You can't get over on him. He's everywhere, present at all time. He knows all things. He has all knowledge. He's omniscient. Now, this ought to blow your mind. Did you know, now we use in the Bible, this is a 10-cent expression, theological term, we use in the Bible these anthropomorphisms, meaning they're terms that we use to describe God that's more for us to understand and not necessarily totally descriptive of him. In other words, God doesn't think about anything. You think about that. God doesn't think about it. God doesn't consider anything. God doesn't wrestle with any problem. The knowledge of God is immediate. Immediate. He knows all things. And so that's the one that we're talking to. We're not talking to someone that has to go, oh, excuse me for a minute. Gabriel, do you remember what I said the other day? He forgets nothing. Well, you say, well, he forgets our sin. Well, forgets our sins in the sense that he chooses not to hold it against us. he is sovereign. You know what sovereign means? It means that God is never not in control. He's in control always. Even, and this is the problem with evil, and I don't want to go down this road, but even when bad things happen, it doesn't mean that God goes, oops, how did that happen? He's always on his throne. He's always in control. He's always working on our behalf. He is sovereign. He's Lord of the universe. He is holy. He is holy. The human mind cannot begin to fathom the proactive purity of God. There's not an ounce of imperfection in him. He is completely holy. That's who we're talking to. He is absolute truth. He is the source of truth. There is no lying with God. There's no fabrication with him. This is truth. That's who we're talking to. He is righteous. Perfectly righteous in his dealing with us. He is just. He is love. Perfect love. He is merciful. He is faithful. He never changes. God does not have to improve. That's who we're talking to. That's who we're talking to.
All right.
It's National Sticker Day.
Okay.
I used to collect stickers.
Really?
As a child, yeah. I had books of stickers.
I'm going to remember that.
Yeah.
You might get stickers showing up everywhere.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I love that. I'd love to bring that one back.
Okay.
And it's National National Rubber Ducky Day.
Where's Lynn Randall
Remember
when you
the
need
song?
Her? Yeah.
Rubber Ducky.
I think Lynn Randall has a whole box of those.
Really?
Whole box
Aflac. Of a lot of things.
Aflac. Wasn't the ducky there?
Yeah, that's a real duck.
Okay. All right. So what else has happened?
So today is Friday. We just said it. Today's Friday the 13th. We just came off a really great week. Girl Talk, Men's Fellowship. A week from today kicks off Beyond the Weekend, our youth conference. So really looking forward to this. We've had Beyond Youth Nights. regularly. That's just one night where we bring the youth groups together. This will be an entire weekend, so this will be our second annual Beyond the Weekend youth conference. So it runs through the entire weekend, through Sunday. Tucker Rodkey's going to be here from Painting Freedom Ministry. Looking forward to hearing the word. He shares the word, and then he paints the word, you could say. An inspirational artwork piece that he does within his message is really, really, really great to experience. And he's just a great guy to get to know. We've got to know him over the last few years. Colony Grad Band will be here sharing worship. Anchor Bible Church will also be here sharing worship. So looking forward to that. If you're interested, we do need a leader with each youth group.
That would be very helpful, right?
So for the leaders, it's $40 for the entire weekend per leader, and it's $100 per student. So it's just a really, really great deal that gives you accommodations, that'll get you meals, and to be able to experience the weekend in its entirety. We're going to have all kinds of activities. We have a volleyball tournament on Saturday night, so we're asking you to wear uniforms, so matching uniforms. You can get creative with that, so looking forward to that. We'll have a Smash Brothers tournament. Archery tag is always a hit. And then on the more serious side with fellowship, we're going to have opportunities for the youth groups to come together and share what they've experienced each night throughout the weekend. And we also have a testimony panel time on Saturday morning, after Saturday morning service, where there's going to be Keswick staff and those from the programs to share their experiences of life and what God's done in their lives.
That's awesome. So if you'd like more information, call 1-800-453-7942 or visit our website, www.americaskeswick.org. And starting today, we have a new support group at 4 o'clock for women. It's called Introduction to Trauma. There are a lot of folks out there that have been struggling with trauma in their life. This is a great way for you to get some help from a biblical point of view. And so if you're interested, ladies, in finding out more about that support group, call 1-800-453-7942. Just a reminder that America's Keswick does depend on friends like you to support this ministry with your gifts and your prayers. God's people have been so faithful, and so we're looking forward to seeing how he's going to bless this year. If you'd like to give a gift, you can give online, www.americaskeswick.org. Donate now, or you can call 1-800-453-7942 and give a gift. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll look forward to seeing you back here on Monday for Worship Live at 1:30. God bless.